Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, I guess it is officially that time of the week again. The greatest Tuesday you've had all week, and it's time for the True Wealth Show. I'm your host, Dave Littlejohn, and studio with me today is...
Matt Dixon.
David. Sometimes I've had too much sugar.
Those Reese's Peanut Butter Cups will get you.
They're good. I'm not even going to lie.
You know, I kind of followed suit. I had a Snickers bar and a Hershey's bar. They were small ones, but you know what? The Hershey's bar was oddly disappointing. I've like become accustomed to dark chocolate, like 75%, 80%.
Okay.
And so you get this milk chocolate, and it's just repulsive. You're like,
oh my gosh,
get away from
me!
You
know, he's
his gone to the hard
stuff. Taste
buds
are changing. He's officially becoming a grown up. Matt, welcome aboard.
Thanks. That's what I'm here for.
Oh man, you know it's kind of a fun segue if you talk about. You know, we talk about all kinds of stuff on this show, right?
Is this the show about growing up?
I was going to say it's a little bit of like today's the grown-up show. I feel like I need a disclaimer on this, okay? I feel like the disclaimer needs to be that this is probably not for most of our listeners.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it might be people on our podcast listenership, but I think a lot of people that listen live is probably not aimed at you. Now, don't worry. You'll probably love it because I just feel a little feisty today.
Wow.
I don't know what to say. Matt comes to me and says, I think we should talk about like the biggest mistakes that people make in money, like the most common mistakes. And I just sat there for a minute and went, I don't even know where to start.
Like I've seen so many mistakes. Like, where does the list start and where does it end?
And then it became, how much can how do you get people to stop doing this? And my really snarky response is, I think we shame them.
public shaming.
We just need to point these behaviors out as the lunacy that they are and say, if you're doing this, stop being an idiot. Which is why I'm like, it's probably not most of our listeners.
I just know
that most of our listeners are like, no, we're not doing a lot of that. So it's not at you. But if you remember this show and you like figure out the podcast, next time that you find somebody who's just making a truly bonehead financial move, you just be like, you know what? I've got just the show for you.
So you can see it. I grabbed a pen. I'm going to make a tally mark for how many times you say stupid or idiot on this show today.
Oh my gosh, get a second pen. We're going to wear it out.
I'm going over under of 12. I think you drop it 12 times over the course of an hour. Yeah. Or is it going to be more? Are you saying more than that?
Yeah, I think we could do it.
Okay, I'm setting the line at 12. Call in for the over-under, and we'll see if
stupid thing people do is, do I have to actually direct it at a theoretical
no,
person
it just has
or
to
just
naturally
throw
come
it
up,
out there?
Just, it has to just naturally
come up
there.
All right, no, we'll just slip that stupid thing in there. It'll be fine.
Okay, well, I'm putting a tally mark on. We're starting it.
Okay, so... you try to break this stuff into segments. I don't know if it's really going to work that way today, but we'll try.
Sure.
So, Matt, where do you start? I first of all, who are we actually talking to?
I think we're talking to everyone, honestly, because even the best investor might make this little tiny mistake. So I want to talk about all these little mistakes, and maybe you hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah.
Or you know about it and you keep delaying. And so then it's like, hey, that almost makes it worse. You knew.
Yeah.
You knew better, but you kept putting it off. And so it might hurt a little bit, but maybe if it hurts enough, you'll do something about it because David told you that you're being stupid.
Matt.
Yeah, I'll probably drop that. Hey, I just said it. Does that count?
Now we're just going with the program over-under. It should be double.
Right? Yeah, 24.
We can get there.
The over-under is now 24.
So here's one thing I will call out. most of these are, a lot of these you learn from experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so this is, remember, if you've not heard this before on this program, I'm share it with you, and then you pretend it's yours and tell it to everybody else, and then they'll get a chuckle out of it, right? We're going to use the Mexican dinner theory. Okay.
Haven't heard this one before.
Oh, you're going to love it, right?
Okay.
Here's the Mexican dinner theory. Okay, there's two types of people in the world. Because when you go to a Mexican restaurant and you order whatever it is you order that's not a salad, because we're ordering food, mm-hmm. right?
Then yeah, we're not rabbits.
So, and they bring it to you. And invariably, what do they say? Careful, because the plate is
hot.
Hot. So now, here's the two types of people in the world. There's the first type that says, thank you. And then there's the second type that says, you're right. Okay? In one form or another, they've acknowledged, oh, it is hot, right? And that is the difference, my friends, between wisdom and experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can't tell you how many times I've touched a hot plate or a hot stove or hot lava just because of stupidity, right? Like,
yeah.
Like it's on me, so I'm not actually shaming everybody here. But it's important we call some of this stuff out. Label it, name it, stop doing it.
Sure.
Okay? So I think we talk about some of those things. So the first one that comes to mind, Matt, where mm-hmm. do you start?
Well, I think part of it is just this failure to kind of save or plan early, right? And there's a lot that can go into that, whether it's just you just flat out didn't save enough money. I mean, sometimes people are assume they're going to be fine, and then they look at the picture and they're like, wow, I didn't really like start paying attention to this until about a year ago, and I think I should be okay. And then you look at it and you're like, well, based on your lifestyle, no, you're not. That's not enough money.
You want to hear a fancy term for this?
Yeah.
Right? The fancy term, I think, would be like time negligence, right? Or opportunity negligence.
Time negligence.
Okay, like so opportunity negligence is a fun name for it to me, because the opportunities are so much easier when you have a long time horizon.
Right.
Right. You can afford to make more mistakes. You got more time to recover. And the more time that expires, the harder it is to compress and speed things up, right? Time mm-hmm. is such a friend. And so it's not just the planning, like, I think planning is sometimes overused in our industry,
sure.
right? Because it's so generic. It's like, what does planning mean? Everybody's plan. Like, shoot, I got a plan to cook dinner tonight, right? You know, like, I'm planning to go to bed eventually. Right? Okay, well, then we're too generic. But having an intentional strategy.
Yeah, intentional.
Yep. Right? I think there's so many people that they're not intentional behaviors, and then time passes by, not because of anything other than, again, this sort of passivity or this unintentional negligence. And before you know it, you're like, shoot, I really pissed away some opportunity
here. You can talk about the flip side of it, too. It's the person that has way more than they'll ever need, but they don't feel like they can just call it quits, or they don't feel like they have enough for whatever reason that is, right? There's that person that has an abundance. They could have retired 5 years ago and been absolutely fine, but they just feel like they got to keep pushing. And it's like, why? You know?
I think there's a whole different set of challenges to talk to that person about. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it's this show.
It might not
be. Because it's not so much an error, other than maybe it's an error in judgment. This insecure feeling or this mm-hmm. trained behavior of savings,
right,
where you actually defer opportunities out of existence.
Yep.
Right? Deferral is actually a great thing. Strategically, it's really useful to be able to defer gratification. It's a form of discipline that tends to create beneficial results.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible to defer something forever.
Yes. And then you never get an opportunity to go do the
thing. Right. And so, some people get caught up in a behavior pattern and they don't know why they're doing it anymore. They just know they're doing
it. Well, yeah, if you've been doing something for 30 years and just following the routine, it can be hard to hit the pause button and reflect.
Right. Different kind of mistake, but it's the idea. Well, and that's why it's helpful. What are you really? Yeah. I mean, it's not a mistake the way we think of, like, great, the failure of not having enough is different than the failure of having too much.
Well, and that's why sometimes it's helpful just to talk to someone, right? And be like, hey, you're an outside source. How am I doing? Give me some feedback, just honest feedback. And that's a good thing to
do. Yeah, independent perspective is valuable, provided that it's not really inaccurate, right? I mean, like, or I've seen independent bad advice. And you're like, that was, why did you do that? Well, so-and-so said it's a great idea. And you kind of go, consider the source.
Yep.
Right?
And do they have your best interest in mind? Because sometimes they're thinking about themselves, and so.
And sometimes they're just idiots.
Yep.
You should mark that down.
Sorry. Yeah, we're at three. We're at three out of 24.
Sometimes they're just idiots.
So here's another one that's kind of falling in that category, too. It's just not having enough sources of income in retirement. So someone goes into it and they're like, hey, well, Social Security and my pension will be good enough. And then sometimes it's not, right? You only had maybe two sources of income in retirement.
So this one's a fun one to unpack a little bit. It's, because I think it's kind of a tricky question, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily the number of sources, right? If you just had one great source, I mean, if you had a pension that paid you way more than you need, you only need one.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, you don't need 37 pensions. That doesn't necessarily make you more secure. It just made you really busy trying to develop 37 pensions, right? So I think, but a lot of people don't understand that the complement between having a nest egg, which is you basically funding your own pension, versus having an income source that's external.
Yep.
And the types of income sources, right? Like a paid off rental property is an income source.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't know if I'm talking about why. Like, why do you think a rental property is like what? All right, I'm leading the witness here. I'll try to get you there faster. So, what is a rental property?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a property that you rent to someone.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a small business, right? Yeah. You basically have this little business that's paying you an income.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just passive. Because it's not earned income, it's passive income because that's the way it works.
Yeah, when and it's not really like correlated to the stock market necessarily either. Which,
well, it's like running a business, right? If you had five or six businesses, and they and you didn't have to work in them, you hired a management team and they ran the business, and you just collected, you know, a margin on the business.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same thing,
right?
We don't necessarily think about owning rental properties as owning units in a business,
right?
But they really are,
right?
So anyway, that's another that's form of income, right? So when you think of sources, it's like, well, where can it come from? That's good. But how much do you need also, right? Like you actually need, if you had a huge nest egg, you don't need any other income sources.
Right.
You know, if you're Scrooge McDuck and you got a money bin, you're like, well, you just go to the
One actually, I've seen that before where someone has a ton of assets, right? And they've got this huge nest egg, but then they feel like they need like the rental income. And so they go out and they drop, you know, a quarter of their net worth on a rental to go get $1,000 a month. And I'm like, did you really need to do that? Maybe, maybe not. Like, it,
again, this is where intentional strategy makes all the difference.
Right? Really? Yeah,
and,
it does.
And sometimes there's so many different pathways to get there, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I love the point that you're bringing up, right? The idea of multiple income streams. So but yeah, a lot of people, they don't really do the math, right? They only do part of the math. And I think that's the issue. It's like, if you don't look at the whole picture, then you don't have the whole picture.
Yeah.
There's sage wisdom. Now who's the idiot?
Four.
Yeah.
I've got a really good one for you, David.
It's
actually one of my favorite ones that I hear that just makes me cringe and get the heebie-jeebies.
Cringe and heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah, I make everybody wait for it. We'll take a break.
Let's do it.
We'll come back on the flip side. Then you can talk about heebie-jeebies or whatever else. All right, stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Probably got some app for like sighting a gun or something like that.
I do. I can pull it up right now, and it'll tell
you.
No,
welcome back to the True Wells Show. We're live, Matt. We're live. We're not going to talk about the apps on your phone. Hey, guys. Dave Little John in studio with
Matt Dixon.
All right. We are talking about knucklehead moves that people make in finance today. Mm-hmm. So if you're just joining us, thankfully, you're not one of the idiots, right? Because you're going to learn with us.
Yep.
And so grab the podcast, get caught up. It'll be available at littlejohnfs.com, and you can find a whole bunch of historical podcasts, too. Historical mostly because they're already in there and they're part of history. I don't know that we actually made history in our podcasts. Mm-hmm. That sounds really self-important. Oh, they're historical podcasts. Like, historical to what? Anyway. So we're going to take some pop shots today at mistakes, right?
Yep.
Make sure you're not one of them. And if you are, kindly be quiet about it and stop doing it. Maybe no one will notice.
There you go.
Right? Let's just do that. So you have these – Matt takes notes.
I do. Yeah.
Thank you.
I have to.
I
like having stuff ready to talk about. I like having a lot of ammunition here.
I just make stuff up.
Yeah.
Sort of true.
So financial pitfalls. It's the topic of the day. Here's one of my favorite ones that I've heard.
Okay.
And the theme is, hey, I'm not really going to save for my future because I've got a business and I'm just going to invest everything I make back into that because it's going to grow to the point to where I'm set. And I've heard that from more than one person, and I've seen it really, really, like, I know someone, as an example, who's consistently for a long time, you know, made six-figure range plus, like really doing well. This person also has a track record of like three or four failed businesses, and they just restarted another one. And so they don't have any retirement savings at all, and the businesses have all gone under. And I'm like, man, you were doing so well for so many years, but you spent it all to try and build something that failed. And I'm like, you could have paid yourself along the way. So that's a tough one.
So help me understand how you're sort of framing this. Because you said, so this is a person that has a business.
Yeah.
And they're not paying themselves out of the business?
Well, they're paying themselves wages, and then they buy a bunch of fancy stuff, and they live a extravagant lifestyle. And they never save for retirement. They never build up a big nest egg. They either put it back into the business or they spend it all. And then I just worry for that person because I'm like, what happens when you're 50 or 60? You better hope that one of those businesses really did well, because so far you're not batting a real good average. And unless it turns around for you, you'll have lived a pretty, you know, cool lifestyle up until the time that you can't like physically get out there and work anymore. Like, what happens when your body isn't willing to get up in the morning and go do the thing? And then it's like, well, now what?
Yeah. So this is there's the idea of moderation, but you're framing the problem as a person that it's really a savings issue, right?
Because
it sounded like at first this was an issue of like, you shouldn't invest in your business.
Oh, you should, but you should not forget to invest in yourself.
Yeah, I think I would suggest that your business, if your business is the only thing you have, then you are taking a substantial risk in that respect.
Yeah.
Now, the truth of the matter is that is often the biggest payout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if you consider the people that struck it big, they typically have huge equity stakes in super valuable businesses.
Right.
And so that's how they grow massive net worth.
But the problem is, how many businesses fail along the way?
Well, I think the issue is that like you probably have similar odds to a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Is to hitting a business like that. You know, like one in a billion.
Yeah.
That makes it to that level. I mean, like you're certainly one in 100 million.
Or you
which
build
means in the United States, three.
Well, and how many times does someone build a business that they can't resell because of the way that they structured their business?
Well, those are just it. You know, are you building a job or are you building a business? Are you building something that's sellable to other people, or are you just building a machine that's capable of helping you generate income?
Exactly.
And are you in the business, or are you the business, or are you over the business, right? These are all different perspectives on how that operates. And so, I think a concern that I have for a lot of folks, especially entrepreneur types, is sometimes they get really, really heavily vested in their enterprise, and they don't build, to your point in our prior segment, other income streams or other yep. nest eggs that will armor their balance sheet over time.
Yep.
Right. And you know, that's just because you develop savings doesn't mean you don't believe in your business.
Right.
I mean, they're completely unrelated to each other. You can believe mm-hmm. in both, but the idea that you should exclusively invest back in your business, I think, can be sort of a silly way to think about things. Even if your business is growing at astronomical rates, I mean, if you're mm-hmm. saying, well, you know, my business is growing at 400% a year. So you're right. That's better than any returns you're going to get in the markets or so forth. So I'm not going to suggest that you should store up a ton of value elsewhere. But if your business grows 400% a year, but it spins off zero free cash flow,
mm-hmm.
there's still problems, right?
Yeah.
And so you need to be aware of what you're playing here, because I think what you can do is you can fall into the rationalization game rather than the reality game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't be an idiot. Don't get caught in that one.
Okay. So those are some of the ones that were on the forefront of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
David, talk to me. I mean, you said you've seen a laundry list, a lot of stuff going on over the years. What's one that, you know, you kind of want to talk about a little bit?
Oh, man. If there was, there's probably two big ones in my world that make me want to like come over the desk and choke somebody in a loving way, right? Like choke some sense into you.
Okay.
Does that... Golly, I said that on air. One of them, doggone it, wants versus needs.
Okay.
Like, it drives me bananas when somebody says, well, I need to go buy a new truck. And they don't mean a truck that's new to them. They mean go and get a new truck. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, so you have a $1,600 a month truck payment and you make $2,000 a month? Oh, you're an idiot.
Oh, there they are. There's that fifth one.
Yeah, no, there you missed one in there too. Oh, don't worry, I'm throwing six. Them down. Yeah, you are full. But that is so dumb. Like you are spending such a radically disproportionate amount of your income on something that you have rationalized that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And no, you've just bought something shiny to try to show off to people you don't know.
Ooh, the showing off part is a real right? thing. It's
and like, and that's the thing. It's like
the keeping up with the Joneses. And
it's like, congratulations, you're so insecure that you're going to go overspend on an item to show off to other people, mm-hmm. and you're going to create a hardship for yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're going to try to justify that behavior to those around you and explain why it's okay that you've made this complete bonehead idiot move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one. Idiot. Right? Like, stop telling me it's okay. It's mm-hmm. not. And any financial guy that tries to patty cake this, or gal, right? But anybody patty caking this, they're doing you a disservice. And they don't look you in the eyes and say, buy what you can afford. Okay? You want to hear like a real sad but true bit of reality in this country?
Yeah.
We just wring our hands. I hear more people whine and complain about how expensive things are. And they're not wrong. But then they go out and pay for it anyway, right? In economics, you have some very simple stuff, okay? Supply and demand, okay? If supply is scarce and you can substitute for something else that's a more appropriate price point, that's allowed, right? But we don't want to do that. We need to show off to the people that we don't know to somehow patty cake our ego. And so people will make really harmful, self-inflicted financial wounds because of fragile ego.
Yep. And how many times have we seen it play out where it's like you buy it and your friend buys it, and everyone keeps buying it, the price is never going to come back down.
Look, if everybody's willing to, like, if I was manufacturing trucks and it's like, well,
I can hear it now.
Oh, no, we can't afford to produce a truck for under $60,000. But everybody still pays it. Behind the scenes, the execs are going, it doesn't matter what the reason is. They'll pay 60 grand. Maybe they'll pay 65 or 70. There's people paying 100.
Yep.
$100,000 truck. And I'm like, I got news for you. It doesn't have more utility than a $40,000 truck. for a $30,000 truck.
You didn't need the back warmer massaging chair.
Yeah, it's not more utility. What it is justification of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you're willing to do it. And the fact that you're willing to do it is why manufacturers are willing to price it there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's still demand.
If zero people in this country were to buy an $80,000 truck, they would move the price lower until they found a buyer.
Yeah. Well, look, go ask Jeep what happens when you can't sell. Okay? Like that, they're hurting, right? Your prices are coming down. Mm-hmm. And some of it's because it has to. Like if you have to choose between your truck payment and your groceries, right? Get the groceries.
Well, some people still choose the truck, but
for a little while.
Yeah.
Everybody chooses eventually.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you can't have a truck, like you starve to death, your truck doesn't matter. Okay, so you will substitute at some point if the pain gets bad enough.
Yeah.
But it is amazing how people will hold on to it for so long.
Yeah.
And with money they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? With money they don't have. And then you'll start blame shifting around. And that's another one, right? We got an accountability issue where it's like, well, it's somebody else's fault that I made this bad decision. Like, no, go own it. The people that end up financially successful, it's not that they, maybe there's some luck involved. Most of them, go listen. They own their mistakes.
Yeah.
They own their mistakes, and they make them. Don't think that folks that are financially successful have been mistake-free and it's all luck, right? A lot of mistakes. But they own them, and they learn from them. And they also don't often repeat them.
Mm.
Said this a million times. Well, enough times. Don't be an idiot. There, check mark again, right?
Oh, yeah, we're at 10 now.
Unforced errors should be avoided, right? Avoid unforced errors.
Yeah, okay. You can't just shoot yourself in the foot over and over again and expect things to miraculously just work out for you.
Yeah.
And I've seen that. People, they start complaining. They're like, oh, woe is me. And I'm like, but you keep making that bad decision over and over and over again.
Yeah. But you done it.
You did.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody
well,
made
I, well, I had to. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. No. And that is, no, I need to not feel this shame part. I need to make it somebody else's fault or justified somehow so that I don't have to feel uncomfortable with the decision that I need to own.
And how many times do we just end up blaming a presidential
person? Oh, my gosh. I got news for you. Regardless of the election outcome, your life starts with you cleaning your own room.
Yep.
Okay? So that's just how it goes. You don't want to hear that? Yeah, we're the wrong show for you. If you're cheering right now, stick around. When we come back, I have what I think is probably one of the most common errors that people make. And the good news is it's really easy to solve. So stick around. We'll talk about that next. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
Yeah, True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio.
Matt Dixon.
And we are talking about financial mistakes that people make. Basically, we're going to shame you into
Can we
stopping.
Call it the stupid index?
Yeah, please. Okay. Yeah, no more idiot financial moves. Just... we got to stop doing that. And the reason is because they're really easily solved.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing is like I have a bunch of people out there that life is hard. Life is expensive. These are not false statements in many respects, but it's a lot harder when you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When you make unforced errors and make it worse, it gets harder. And so we're just coming straight on at these. I promised you guys at the last break, I'd bring up what I think is one of the most significant cannibalizers of wealth in our country. Okay, I don't think I framed it that way at the
break.
That's
a good way to frame it, though.
But this cannibalizes wealth, okay? Because what you're really doing is you're robbing from yourself by buying things over time, thinking that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've already justified it. You move on from the decision, and then it emboldens more of this behavior, and then you do more of it.
Are you talking about debt slaves? You're just a slave to the debt.
Yeah, but let's explain what it looks like, right?
Sure.
You have an income. Mm-hmm. And so you go get a car payment and an apartment, and then you buy some furniture, but you use your credit card, and you get a ATV or something on the side, and you're making payments there. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden your entire life is basically maintaining payments on things.
Right.
And, oh, it's time for a new car. I didn't pay the other one off. I am a little upside down, but I roll that into the next car anyway, because somebody's willing to finance me, and I keep on the payment wagon. And before you know it, all your life is you managing cash flow through your world. Mm-hmm. You have to keep working to pay for the obligations. You no longer have the time to enjoy the things that you got in the first place. And you are just on this hamster wheel, sprinting for all you're worth. And there's an old expression. It says, if you want to demoralize a man, or woman in this case, pay them just enough to survive.
Yep.
Right? And you, the problem is, you may have more than enough to survive, but you piled the excess on. Mm-hmm. And you hopped on that hamster wheel and started running, and now you don't know how to get off.
Right.
Right? And not only that, it doesn't occur to you that you should get off. It's just, well, if I could just find a way to make more money, my life would be better.
Mm-hmm.
But would it? Or would you just go out and use that additional margin that you find, not for savings, but for doing other things that you decide that you need, and just piling more on?
I would say 80% of people do that.
80% is probably conservative, but I suspect so.
Yeah. You think it might be more.
If we follow the basics of the Pareto principle, the old 80-20 rule, 20% of people would make decent decisions. I think it's half of that.
Oh, wow.
Right? And so that would mean 80% of the population is likely to fall into that scenario.
Oh, that
makes
sense,
if they're affording
sense,
to make
though.
Their payments, then they're just going to keep doing that, and they're just going to expand the payments if they get a raise.
Well, I think that makes sense, because if it actually might be worse than that. Because just look at, like, you know, we talk about the top 1%, and it's like most people, you know, don't get into that range because of what you just said.
Yeah, well, most people don't buy assets. Yeah. Most people buy payments on liabilities. Mm-hmm. And so what they're doing is they're making payments, they're paying interest, and the thing that they're paying for is becoming lesser value over time.
Yeah.
So you're basically buying melting ice cubes.
Right.
Right? And you're handling them because you're paying interest, right? You're turning the thermostat up while you're piling the ice in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, yeah, it's going to get harder and harder. Right, the hotter you make it, the harder it is to keep that ice in there, and so you just keep piling more. It's absurd, right?
Mm.
And yeah, why do I use these silly examples? Maybe it'll get through. So you gotta own assets, right? You can't justify liabilities and then be confused why you don't have any net worth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is an unforced financial error.
Yeah, I mean, if you're buying stuff that just loses in value and you're paying interest along the way, how do you ever move forward?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was another phrase that's great, comparison is the thief of joy, right? And I mm-hmm. swear that is our culture right now. It's like
it
people
is.
Just look at what somebody else has and then they think they need to go get more.
TikTok and Instagram, they just show you the lifestyle that you want to chase.
Yeah.
Delete it.
Well, and you never see anything but what that person wants you to see. You don't see them depressed and miserable.
No. Or it's
the,
ruining
all the stuff
marriages.
They have is rented and it's not real.
Yep.
Yeah, it's such a broken thing. And why? Because, you know, we buy into this lie that somebody else has it better and we just need to copy them.
Mm-hmm.
If you could see all of it, they don't have it better.
Yep.
Right? They may have more money, but believe it or not, after a certain point, more money doesn't actually make it more better.
Mm-hmm.
Enough money is great. More money can be a good thing, but it so often isn't.
Right.
Because, you know, you're serving the money, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. It's probably why Dave Ramsey's last step is the generous portion.
Yeah.
Like, once you get the stuff, now it's time to be generous.
Yeah.
Like, you can't forget that part.
Here's a crazy thing. I mean, I've sat in this office, and if I'm honest about it, like, I don't believe everything Dave Ramsey says, but I don't think he says bad stuff very often.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He rubs people the wrong way because he's abrasive and will tell you. He'll say, like, well, you're an idiot. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But a lot of people are. Like, you're just stupid moves. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Part of it is, you know, you sort of tilt your head to the side and go, like, can you really make a career and make all this money just telling people
to make good decisions?
To not spend money you don't have? Like, What a comically simple thing. And it's like, how do you guys keep screwing this up?
Right.
Right? Not our listeners, I trust, right? But maybe. Like,
oh,
how do we
could
keep
be our listeners up? Because you look at Dave Ramsey's listeners, the ones that he says the same thing over and over to 75,000 different ways, but he's saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the show the other day, and the guy called in, and he had leveraged everything in his life to the tilt, to the tune of like being in debt, $2.4 million.
Yeah.
And it's like the guy was to the point where he was so stressed he couldn't see straight because his payments were, you know, five figures each
because
month.
Because he was doing exactly what we talked about, the yep. debt prison.
Yep. And he was making a ton of money. The guy was making like $400,000 or $500,000 a year. But
still, it's
it
a prison.
It didn't matter.
It's
it didn't
prison.
Matter. Nope. The guy got himself so far into debt that... And he thought he was being smart with it. That was the crazy thing. He's
that,
like,
that's really tough.
He's like, well,
right?
I bought this like vacation house that was supposed to make me, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 a year, and it kind of is. But at the same time, like,
we've seen this stuff. We've
leverage,
just seen it,
leverage,
right?
Leverage.
And here's the thing: what Dave Ramsey has kind of gotten right is it's a pathway to lower stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not the pathway that seems like it's really sexy though. Like there's folks that they want like the private jet lifestyle.
Right.
Okay. And first of all, even that, you need somewhere to go. Right? You're just going to vacation all the time, then it's not vacation anymore. It's just what you do,
mm-hmm.
right? And then what are you doing? Well, you're actually showing off for other people.
Yep.
That's what you're doing. Like your job is to try to go places and show off. It'll ring hollow pretty soon. There's not a lot of purpose in that.
Mm-hmm.
The people that fly around in private jets to go places and do business deals and so forth, that's a business use. It's actually a different case. And a lot of the people that do that, they don't necessarily enjoy the travel.
Right.
It's a necessary evil when the plane speeds it up for them.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't kid yourself about this. But I think you're right. I think Dave Ramsey's got a couple things dialed, which is like, if you get the stressors out of your life, it gets better. And if you don't have high overhead because you've paid everything off,
mm-hmm.
then you can afford to just buy something and don't do it with stress.
Right.
And before you know it, you have free cash flow.
Yeah, you can just sit back and enjoy it because you own it.
Yeah, and then it is nice to be able to give and make an impact,
mm-hmm.
right? Although it's also challenging because sometimes you give wanting to make an impact, and if you give and it just enables people to make bad decisions, and you're like, no, I can't feel
right?
stupid. Right? I don't want to fuel more idiot moves.
Yeah.
And so you could just hear in his voice when people are doing it right, genuine congratulations. And when mm-hmm. people are doing it wrong, it's not a lack of passion, right? Like, believe it or not, if you're out there thinking to yourself, what if I'm an idiot? Okay, here's the good news. It can be temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, can learn.
You can, yeah.
Right? And you can turn the corner.
You can make better decisions.
And I mean, I think I'm speaking for certainly our office, but I think most financial advisors out there, they want you to do well.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do.
Well,
right?
You should be aligned in such a way to where if both parties are doing well.
Exactly, like, right?
There's that mutual alignment.
And so anyway, that mistake of don't just think if you can make the payments that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You need to be buying assets more than liabilities, and you need to discern the difference. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a time when it is okay to have liabilities. It's when you have your bases covered, right? But people do this out of order, right? You can't eat dessert first and think that you're, and then skip a healthy dinner and then be surprised when you have bad health outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It just, you can't do it that way. And there's things in life and finance that there's an order to things, right? It doesn't just happen. And, you know, the problem is we get a handful of people to get lucky, or they do something that is probably inappropriate. I mean, like with the internet and a lot of people that are influencers and whatnot. And I think there's a lot of stuff that is the kind of stuff I would like, nope, my daughters better not be caught in that environment,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, no, that is not a way to you're not making a living, right? No, that's there's some form of exploitation all the way around, and that's a bad idea. It ends badly, but
you go far enough down that trail of evil, you can find the money, but just because you find it doesn't mean you find happiness.
Well, and the problem too is that if you try to rationalize something, you may even be able to successfully lie to yourself for a while, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean the truth won't find you.
Yeah.
Just because you're good at lying to yourself doesn't make it true.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how it works in finance, and that's how it works in a lot of parts of the world. So don't be suckered by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, look, we got to grab this last break here.
Okay.
When we come back, I don't know, other ways to say the word idiot. It'll be hilarious. Stick around. It. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
Yeah, True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We're not even going to talk about that on air.
I'm sorry.
Welcome back to the True Wealth Show, home stretch, guys, where we are trying to shame the stupid
yep.
out of some folks who just keep trying to rationalize bad decisions. Mm. What are a couple left on the list here? I mean,
one of them was, you know, you don't have a trust, especially in Oregon where estate taxes really nip you if you have over $1 million worth of
stuff.
Yeah,
if you're married and you have more than $1 million worth of stuff, do good estate planning.
Yeah.
It's a cheap fix. It's
right.
If you have more than $2 million worth of stuff, basically it's a $100,000 mistake to not do estate planning.
It's sad when you see like someone pass away, right? And then the spouse comes in and they're like, I think I need a trust. And you're like, it really would have helped you if you would have had one before that tragic event.
It turns out it's hard to have dead people sign stuff.
Yeah. Financial pitfall. You don't have a trust in Oregon and you have a lot of assets.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And so that, you know,
if you need
it's
help
harder.
With that, give us a call.
Yeah.
We'll
call us after class. 541-375-0898.
Yep.
This was an easy one to me, but mm-hmm. You do not need to become well-versed in this, but just having a basic understanding of tax code, the difference between capital gains and income tax, that's such a huge one to know the difference, even so you don't get duped by politicians. I'll just say, I'll straight up say, I think it's measure 118.
Oh,
I'm not supposed to be real political, but I think it's a terrible idea. Because folks don't understand that you're talking about, if we did a tax in this way, a bunch of people are going to get $1,600 a year.
Hey, here's a way for you to know whether it's a good idea or not. Go to the voter pamphlet, and I want you to open it up. And I want
count
you
the number of fours, the number of against?
No, because no. Look at who's endorsing it, and look at who's opposed to it. Because you can buy spots in the pamphlet and give people your opinion. All these businesses are saying, don't do this. This is a bad idea. And they'll tell you why. And then if you go look at the people that are saying yes, it's 100% anonymous. No one's putting their name behind why they think you should do this.
Yeah.
Because no one is actually dumb enough to say this is a good idea publicly.
Yeah,
you know who's paying for the spots?
George Soros?
Yeah, George Soros and his other crony frickin'. No, you don't even
look,
get me started.
We poked the bear on this one.
Whoa.
Guys, I will just tell you, if anybody's on the fence, understand that the taxes will compound.
Hey,
corporations don't pay
that
taxes.
That money isn't free, okay? And the government wants to hand you $1,600 for the year.
Yeah.
Big whoop-de-frickin'-do. If your stuff has to be taxed 7 times before it gets to you, do you think $1,600 is enough?
Yeah.
No.
Every company that has to bring all the product in, they're going to be they're taxed, and then the people get the product and they're taxed, and then they have to move it to this other part. It's taxed multiple times in the process of manufacturing and so forth.
Here's one for you, David. You've used the word idiot or stupid, I think, 16 times at least on this show, and I've only used it once or twice. So this is going to be my idiot card.
Yeah.
If you vote yes on that, you might be an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't come up with anything other than, you're a dumb, stupid head idiot.
Idiot, idiot, idiot.
Idiot, yeah. We'll get there just on this one section.
Yeah.
And, I would love to, just have somebody call irately and try to lace into me, because I guarantee doggone to you, it'll all be about, you don't know what it's like to be out there and be just barely making it. And that $1,600 would make a difference. And I go, you don't get the fact that that $1,600 will be eaten up in the expansion of the cost of everything.
Immediately.
And then some.
Immediately.
You will make no headway on this. Everybody will pay more. And yeah. you will end up with
this
net less.
This is the Hampton story that I was just talking about off air. You know, you wonder why people over east that live in the Hamptons don't have employees that live in the Hamptons, because it's too doggone expensive. So they bust the employees in. And it's like, do that in Oregon. Jack with the taxes to the point to where it's taxed many times over, and then see if anyone can even live here anymore.
That's the thing. If you have to subsidize housing to make it work,
it ain't going to work.
You know it ain't working.
Hey, what happened in 2008? We saw housing defaults that went through the roof, right? And I wonder why that was. Because poor lending. You were giving money to people that couldn't afford the house. And so, you know, you look at all this and it's like, let's give people money that they don't really deserve. And let's, I could just go on and on.
No, it's really super broken. I hope this thing goes down in flames, but there will be people that vote for it. And I'm like, all I can tell you is this is one of those, it's another financial mistake in the world, super short-sighted. Yep. I need the thing right now because I can't think farther than 10 minutes in front of my face.
Yep.
And I'm like, you will cut yourself mishandling this. That's all I'm telling you is it's mishandling.
100%.
And this is unsolicited. It's just we get to have an opinion too. And, you know, we're not, there's no donations or anything associated with it. So it's nonpartisan, but I don't like it.
Nope.
And with that, we are out of time on the rest of the
Idiot
Show.
So if you don't want to be an idiot, give us a call.
Right.
We'll make sure that you're on the right track.
And they reach us by calling
541-375-0898.
All right. So there you go. And also, you can catch the rest of the podcast if you want. Go to littlejohninvest.com. Tons of information there. And start snooping around that website. We've got a new program that's going to drop shortly. For those of you that are interested in developing assets, we got a sneak preview of the Wealth Incubator that's coming. All right. So you are starting to hear a teaser, and you're hearing it today.
What does it mean?
Wealth
What does
Incubator.
It mean?
I'll tell you later, but we got to run. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.
It's been Matt Dixon.
And Dave Littlejohn.